Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello there. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Nice to have you with us again. And we're happy because Loretta Harrington is back with us again today. We've had the opportunity to chat with Loretta a number of times. She's a fascinating lady with a fascinating story, and I really love chatting with her. She is on the line with us from her headquarters in the Virginia suburbs right outside Washington, D.C. Loretta, as you may know, if you have been listening at all to us, is the lady who had the remarkable experience of meeting a young man who had come into her life to help her father when he was in the final stages of his life, a healthcare worker who had come in to help, and they discovered, that is, the two of them discovered that they had known each other a long, long time ago in a place far, far away. And when I say a long time ago, I mean like 100 years ago or more. In other words, it was in a different lifetime. And this has really had a remarkable change on Loretta's life. She wasn't expecting anything like this to happen. None of us would, let's face it. But these two individuals, Loretta and this young man named Zora, have really figured out that they did indeed know each other in another lifetime, a long time ago. And they've gotten together. They both live in the same area in and around the Washington, D.C. They see each other a lot. And Loretta has written a book about her story, and it's a remarkable book called A Piece of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. And it tells this whole story of what has happened to her life over the last 9 years. It's been remarkable. We've talked with her a lot about it, and Loretta's story is, you know, she's had a lot of high-ranking positions in the world of business. She had a position in a cabinet-level office with the George Bush administration in Washington. She is definitely on the level. This is not some fantasy. This really is happening. So if you haven't heard Loretta yet, talk to us a little bit. I'm sure you're going to find her interesting today. Let's welcome her back. Loretta Harrington in Fairfax, Virginia. Loretta, welcome. Nice to have you back with us. How are you?
I'm well, Doug, and it's good to be back. I always enjoy our conversations. I just never know where we're going to go with these conversations, but I'm with you today.
You know, it's getting to be that way because I've talked to you about so many different parts of this story, it's kind of hard to know exactly where we want to go. But I mentioned to you, because I chatted with you on the phone just a couple of moments before we went on the air, and I said, you know, this whole thing must have had a huge change on your life, a major upheaval. So let me just ask you that, to explain to me a little bit, when something like this happens to someone, it could happen to anyone, you know, it could happen to me, your neighbors, or whatever, that we run into somebody and then all of a sudden, boom, you make this connection and realize it went back a long, long, 100 years ago. We don't wake up thinking about things like that. What kind of effect or impact has this whole thing had on your life? How would you describe it?
Oh, golly, I would say it certainly rocked my world, threw me for a loop, all of those terms that we use when we say, wow, when you come across a revelation like this, it almost throws you into a whole new realm and saying, is this really true? Is this happening? Am I dreaming? It's so unbelievable. And to come out of a mindset where you're waking up every day and you're going about your business and feeling good about what you do, and then something like this comes your way, and you really have to question yourself as to whether you want to take a serious look at this. But I'll tell you, Doug, this has changed my life. It changed my world, my outlook. It caused me to question my motives, my value, my belief system, a belief system that I've had since I was a child. These things aren't normal. They don't just happen. And you you know that when you're with your family, well, they're your family. You can't change that. But to take someone, a perfect stranger, that you meet under sad circumstances, as I did, and befriend that individual, and take the risk and the chance to trust someone outside of your family and close personal friends. This was something that I never imagined ever that I would do. I was very comfortable with my social circles, family, friends, profession, relationship, marriage, all of that, very comfortable with it. And then someone comes in your life and you begin to say, is this for real? And then you grapple. I grappled with all of the answers, coming up with answers in my mind as to why this happened. And every single day after my father passed away, I wondered whether I should reach out. Should I continue to stay close with Zora? Should we talk regularly? Should we see each other? Should I take it another step further? I mean, what was I getting myself into? I mean, let's be honest. This is quite a leap. I'm a Capricorn. I'm pretty much give me the problem. I'll analyze it. I'll give you my analytical viewpoint. And 99% of the time, I'm pretty accurate. But there was no gauge, no case study, no class that one could take to prepare themselves for this kind of experience. Now, keep in mind.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Look back 9 years ago, before this happened. What was your life like at that point? What were you doing? Were you still working?
Yes. Just left the government. found myself going up to Pennsylvania every week, take care of my father. My siblings would take care of him on weekends. And mm-hmm. then while this was going on, looking for a job after I left government, and most of us that were in government were in the same situation, and putting out feelers for a job, wanted to continue to work.
Is that because you were in the Bush administration, and then when the new administration came in, you know, everybody changes, the old guard leaves, you guys mm-hmm. go out and new teams come in to take your place?
That's really why
you were looking for a job, right?
Yes, Doug, that's the way it works.
Okay.
And then,
yeah.
and add to it that we were going into recession, the Great Recession has
right.
been called. So competition is quite stiff. But I knew that I wanted to get back into the world of work and continue. So that was all going on. Can you imagine this upheaval? Traveling every week, taking care of an elderly parent. I mean, what did I know about caretaking? I was thrown into that. Knew I needed to get some help, some assistance, reached out to an agency. Zora shows up on my father's doorstep. I take immediate liking to him. He's with me when my dad passes away. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And then I make a decision to continue to communicate with Zora. Now, keep in mind, my family's in the background wondering, what's happening? What's going on?
Explain that aspect of your life. You're married to a Marine pilot. I mean, he may mm-hmm. not be flying now, but I mean, Marines—they're rock solid guys for the most part, right?
They certainly are.
was he working in the government by this time? Had he left or what? What was he doing?
He left the Marine Corps and he was working for Cisco, the routers and switches company out in California. But he was working here in North Carolina and in the Virginia offices. So he was working all throughout this whole ordeal. He continued to work as I was commuting. And can you imagine calling your husband or your wife and saying, hey, I met someone and I want you to meet this person and I want this person to become part of our circle? And the day Rick met Zora was at my father's funeral.
My goodness.
So asking a Marine who's, as you said, rock solid, to kind of come over and start thinking about a soul connection or someone from my past. I mean, we sat down one day and I had this conversation as I was writing the book. Now, keep in mind, I never showed him the book until it was done. And we had these conversations throughout, and he said, "I'm not sure I understand this." And I said, "If you don't understand it, you can imagine how I feel. But I know it, I feel it, I sense it." And he said, "Look, let's just, you go with it." He said, "If you think this is the right thing to do, and this young man needs a helping hand or assistance in any way now that he's left the family, our family, you go right ahead and you help him out." Now, this was interesting because now, keep in mind, my husband's a Marine of many, many years, so he mentored a lot of young men and women in the Marine Corps, bringing them into leadership and helping them to reach their full potential. So here I find myself doing this now with a perfect stranger.
Wow.
It's wild. It's just absolutely wild. And I have all these protections around me. I have walls around me because I don't let too many people in, Doug, unless I'm absolutely sure that I want this person to share my values, to befriend me and work, be friends and give advice. And frankly, love someone as you do a close friend.
Sure. Let me ask you another question. Now, at some point, you started to go meet with a lady named Alice DeVille.
Mm-hmm.
When did you do that? When did you look her up, and why?
Alice and I became acquainted, in the late 1990s. And I was introduced to Alice through a business associate. And Alice was doing and still continues to do transition and coaching. But it was more than that when I began working with her. So as I was transitioning out of the private sector into government, I worked with Alice very closely to guide me through a totally different environment. And I began asking her questions about life's purpose, soul journeys, connections, and she said, "If you're interested in doing this work, let's start working together." So in the early 2000s, I would work with Alice, and we would do our work under the title of Soul Path. And what Alice would do is she would walk me through certain events that would be happening in my life that would come up and help me navigate these events and these circumstances and to get the most benefit for me as someone who wanted to grow and become more mature in my thinking and in my outlook. So we began our soul path analysis in the early 2000s. And when this happened, I was somewhat, when this happened, I knew I had to get with Alice right away because this was very meaningful to me because I was looking at where I was going in my life, what I wanted to do, who was in my circle, who I chose not to keep in my circle, some people you just don't want to associate with.
Yeah.
So when I did this, I was somewhat prepared. I've heard about soulmates, I heard about past lives. I was somewhat prepared, but I wasn't really quite there yet. So when I spoke with Alice, I told her about this, and she said, "When everything settles down, let's talk more about this." And she walked me through after several consultations, because keep in mind, I had to take this step by step. And so she was walking.
Before you continue, one other thing. Define for me what you mean by a soul past analysis. I'm not quite sure how to grab that. What does it mean?
Well, what it means for me is that I have an opportunity to look ahead and to see what direction I want to take with my personal life or professional life. and look at opportunities that come my way, listening to my inner voice and saying, this feels about right, this doesn't quite feel right, let me think about this for a while, and just to take a deep breath, Doug, and say, all right, one step at a time. And I would present to Alice certain situations that I found myself in, and she would guide me through that, through this soul path analysis. And she would look at, first of all, she looks at my birth date, and she guides me through a period of time. And she'll, for example, will say, now, this situation that you're in now, give it a couple of months, wait and see, and what comes out of this situation. Could be anything, personal or professional. So that was the soul path analysis that Alice and I worked together. And I would pose specific questions, and she would guide me through understanding what could happen.
Interesting. So you were at least aware of the fact that it's possible to have had another life. Would that be right at that point? Early on, another, you know, a soul past soul.
I had some information about past lives. I had done some reading. It's fascinating. It's just a fascinating subject.
Sure.
And I did a lot of reading on it, but I never realized for myself what it truly meant until I met Zora. So I was somewhat prepared for it, but then not totally prepared for it. So that's when Alice and I began taking a different path in our consultations, and we would focus more on the soul connection with Zora and the past lives that I had with Zora. So this was all a prelude to where to take this relationship and if I wanted to.
Yeah. I would imagine that this was as much an upheaval in his life as it was in yours. Do you think that's right?
Well, that's a very, very fair statement, an accurate statement. This shook him up quite a bit.
I'm
quite
sure.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he did not really get it. He didn't understand it. he was telling people, his friends, about this relationship, and people were saying, come on, Zora, this is not for real. There's something else going on here. And he would take offense. He said, no. He said, I believe we're like family. We want to be together like a family. In other words, bring each of us into our own respective families.
Yeah.
Now, he's from the country of Georgia, and families are incredibly close there, and friends consider themselves as part of the family. So back to your question. It totally threw him off. So working with Alice, I had to take it step by step with him. Now, he knew, Doug, he knew there was a connection.
What's the age difference between you and Zora?
Oh, it's better than 25 years, yeah.
Okay, considerable.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I would, yes, mother, son, cousin, relationship. Yeah, considerable.
Okay.
So,
okay.
That's the facts. That's the fact. So, so working with him through the last 8 years, I'll say to him in a passing way, I said, you know, I was going to call you. And he would respond and say, I know if you didn't call me that something is wrong, or, you know, you can, you know, I'm tied to you, Loretta, for the rest of my life. So I'm always going to tell you what's going on. And he's got a terrific sense of humor, and it played a big role because we would sit down and sometimes just laugh and say, can you believe this, Zora? This is so bizarre.
Well, look at what has happened since you met him. And by the way, he's gotten married since then. Let me just add two quick questions. What does your husband think of this right now? And what does his wife think of this relationship the two of you have come up with?
Rick, my husband, he's accepted it. He certainly has accepted Zora in every way. Member
yeah.
of the family, taking on a mentor or a teacher with him. Emotionally, he cares a great deal about Zora. He sees a young man that has a lot of potential, who sometimes frustrates Rick because he doesn't always follow what Rick would like him to do or guides him to do. And his wife is from the country of Georgia. He met her there. They got married here. So for her, culturally, she's still assimilating and adjusting. It's a comfortable relationship. I would dare say that she would, if you ask her this, she would be honest with you, she would say she wasn't quite sure of how I fit in, because I'm not
yeah.
the mother-in-law. I'm certainly not the mother, and she would no doubt say that she would have to question this and try to get more comfortable with it. I believe today she is. They've been married a couple of years. And she's home now visiting her family in Georgia, and I hear from her regularly. And they have a child, a little girl now, about 15 months old. So,
but she's accepting it. Let's put it that way.
Yes,
for sure.
She's accepting
it. Well, you know, I started out by asking you how has this changed your life and what you were doing then. Now look what you're doing now. I mean, in the interim, you've written a book. A very good book, and you're getting phenomenal reviews on the book. It's for sale on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble and these other stores. You're speaking. You're talking to groups, not only here but around the country. I saw there's some pictures on your web. You have a great website, by the way. You really do. It's just full of so much information. The website, for anybody listening, it's LorettaHarrington.me. Loretta is Loretta, and Harrington is Herrington. Pretty simple to spell, LorettaHarrington.me. Go there, look at it. You'll see what I mean. It's a great website. And there are pictures of you talking to groups in Tbilisi. Is that right? Wow,
mm-hmm.
You're all over the
yeah.
place. But now you're doing public speaking to corporate groups. You know, your whole life has gone for a big twist. I know you never thought you'd write a book. Did you?
Never.
Ever.
Never. Never did I think I would write a book.
I
couldn't imagine it.
Right.
But,
wow. So,
but
it's
this
been
book
a big
had to be
change
written.
In your life.
Oh, yes.
I want to ask you also on your website, you're now doing blogs, daily blogs. I hear everybody, you know, all these other big people are writing blogs. Why did you decide to start doing blogs? And what's the point? Tell me that.
I started doing the blogs because I was getting a lot of questions from people who read my book, and questions about, and from individuals who have not read my book who have sought me out for just to have a conversation about their career and their view of their professional decisions. Interesting, I meet people at conferences who call me later and say and ask if I could spend a few minutes with them. So that is the reason why I started the blog. And these blogs are all associated with things that I have done or questions that I have been asked. And for example, why'd you write the book? Or what do you mean things have changed? I mean, aren't you a businesswoman? But how do you cross that bridge from writing a book so different? It's not a business book. No, it's a personal story, as you know. And
sure.
How did all these experiences, writing the book and what's happened to you after the book, how do you cross that bridge into your professional life? Well, that is the question. So these life experiences I have with me, take with me, and I use them every day when I'm working with my colleagues and when I speak to people in Washington, D.C., for example. And it's all about being genuine. And there's no spin. Listen, as you mentioned to your audience, I live in the world of spin in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And this is no spin.
You know, you had a title for one of your blog memos just a couple of days ago called Trust Your Intuition. I mean, if you hadn't trusted your intuition, this whole thing probably would not have developed the way it has, would it?
Great question. No, it would not have. And that was part of the work that I was doing with Alice in the previous years, learning to trust my intuition. She would always say to me, and still does, trust your guts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Listen to your intuition. If it feels right, it's got positive feelings, okay, follow it through. I am a very cautious person. And I don't. I make it when I make a decision. I make a decision. I think it through. And there were times when I said yes to jobs that I thought, oh, good grief, I've never. I mean, this is so below my capabilities. But there was something that said at the time, you've got to pay your bills, and who knows who you would meet. And all of that had a cascading effect on where I am today. And all of those jobs that I took, and everyone has this experience. We all do. And I had one job on a Friday afternoon. I know this may sound a bit offbeat, but I had enough working for a family-owned business. And on a Friday afternoon, I closed my desk out. I went over to my manager, and I told her that was my last day. I didn't give notice. I just said, this is my last day. I don't advise doing this. But I realized that day, when I woke up that day, Doug, I said, I can't do this job one more day. I came home and I told my husband, I said, well, we were living in California at the time, a high-cost area, and I said, I just quit my job. And he said, okay, take the weekend off, relax, something else will come up. Don't worry about it. I know it was not a good fit for you. And I never looked back.
Good for
you. And that was the day I said, no more. I'm finished. And I remained friends. We stayed in communication, not for a long period of time. But I just told, I was honest. I said, it's not working for you, and it's not working for me. And that's trusting my intuition.
It's a remarkable story, Loretta. Loretta's book, again, is called Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. And it's just a remarkable. I keep wondering how you came up with that figure. We knew each other, and it was almost 100 years ago. It's a great subject. We're going to talk to you again, and Loretta will be back with us again next week. She's doing a series of broadcasts with us at 2:00 on Eastern Daylight Time. So I want to get back into that again, because that must have been pretty fascinating, trying to figure out when and where it was you knew each other. You know. I mean, that was a challenge, right?
A revelation indeed. And I would love to talk about that. And I had Alice DeVille, the same woman we've been talking about, help me work through that. Yes, I'd love to talk to your audience and to you about it.
We will do that then. Loretta, thank you so much for being with us. I really love our conversations with you. You're a great talker. You have great stories to tell. I mean, come on. You don't run into stories like this every day. So I find this just fascinating to be with you. So thanks so much for being with us. And we'll talk again next week, okay?
Terrific. Wonderful. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, ma'am. That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Again, our guest is just a remarkable lady. Just a remarkable story, Loretta Harrington. And don't forget that book, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. You can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and elsewhere. And remember the website, lorettaharrington.me. It's a great website with a lot of information. And you can find out how to get in touch with her if you would like to. That's where to do it. Okay? Thank you.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
It's that's it for us, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. See you next time right here on CUTV News Radio. Bye for now.